Sharon Osbourne is in trouble over anti-Asian comments. There are even more disturbing details coming out of the Operation Varsity Blues scandal. And we're talking about which reality TV shows comfort us with Laura Parker.
It's March 18th, 2021. Hey friends, I'm Casey Rackham.
And I'm Zach Stafford. Welcome to BuzzFeed Daily. And Casey, before we get going to talk about the things of the world today, I have to say, you said something a few days ago about Pisces season ending, and that's why we're so exhausted. And I think you're correct. Like, I am beat emotionally. I think all of us are beat down emotionally. And I have never said this before, but I look forward to Aries season. It's almost here.
I know. And you know what? I'm not even going to tell that to my best friend who's an Aries, because then her ego, my God.
Some of my best friends are Aries too. They will not hear this from me one-to-one. They will hear it on the show and that's it. But no, we're not giving Aries more praise. These fire signs need less fire, okay?
Yep. Okay, so we're starting today with Sharon Osbourne because it's been reported that she said some absolutely terrible things to her colleague, Julie Chen. This was all revealed a couple of days ago, and according to sources, Osbourne called Chen anti-Asian slurs behind the cameras, which we will not repeat, while the two were hosts of the CBS show, The Talk. Chen is no longer with the show, and Osbourne remains a host. The accusations come as Osbourne faces a wave of criticism for publicly supporting British TV personality Piers Morgan and for appearing defensive and angry and ordering one of her co-hosts to not cry when asked about the blowback during a segment on The Talk. And you know what? We also cannot separate her anti-Asian comments from the calls online to stop the racism and misogyny of Asian women amid the news from Atlanta about the white man who killed 8 people, most of them Asian women, at massage parlors. Osbourne denied making the comments in an interview with the Daily Mail yesterday, calling the claims, quote, crap, all crap, before repeating one of the anti-Asian slurs that she'd been accused of making. CBS has decided to keep the show on hiatus for at least another week while an investigation is conducted.
You know, the one thing you shouldn't do when accused of being racist is do an interview where you say something racist. Just like the Papa John's guy. Like, don't sit here and admit that you do say the N-word all the time if you say that you're not saying the N-word. Like, get your PR facts right. Do whatever. But Sharon Osbourne being racist, truly not surprising here. Have called it forever.
Not at all. And you know what? This isn't the only thing. It wasn't just racism. She also allegedly was using some anti-gay slurs.
Yeah.
As well, when one of her hosts at the time was out and gay, it's just like absolutely, at this point, it's a pattern. So
there's a certain type of liberal, because I'm positive she identifies as a liberal, that gets too comfortable because they're so cool and they're down with the kids. And Sharon Osbourne is married to, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, who was, I mean, there was a moment in which they were the culture. The culture has moved on. It has evolved. But these people are so tied to how they were imagining culture at the time. And they haven't gotten hip with the kids. And they're just like revealing all of the problematicness that sits inside of them and thinking it's cool and funny. And I just am over it. Sorry, cancel them. Goodbye.
100%.
Meanwhile, there are even more revelations coming out about Operation Varsity Blues, the college admissions fraud scandal that Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin were a part of. In a new Netflix documentary called Operation Varsity Blues, The College Admissions Scandal, it is revealed that Rick Singer, the disgraced college admissions counselor, made more than 730 side door deals with parents to get their kids' admissions to elite universities. He accomplished this by getting parents to donate to a nonprofit called The Key Worldwide, which allowed parents to bribe coaches at a school's athletics program. The film also shows Singer exaggerated and fabricated kids' achievements on their applications, and even changed children's races from Caucasian to African-American or Hispanic to give them a boost through affirmative action.
Oh boy. When I saw that about affirmative action, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But that doesn't surprise me at all. As soon as like affirmative action became a thing, it was like every privileged white parent was like, affirmative action.
Yeah, they're mad about it until they can exploit a system and commit fraud and use it for their advantage.
Right, exactly.
You know, there's that phrase, everybody wants to be black until they have to be black. And this is an example. Like, you know, this is just what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Also, I have said this since day one. If you're going to be a real rich person, buy a building. Don't do this. Like, buy a building, build a stadium, name something, endow a scholarship. I don't know. There are other avenues that are very transparent.
That's because some rich people are, they get to that point where they're so frugal. So they even try to take the cheap way out when they're committing fraud.
Girl, if you're going to do fraud, don't do Diet Coke fraud. Do full Coke. Drink all the calories. Take all, because you're going to be penalized the exact same if you're going to do it. So just like go for it. It's okay. It's actually not okay. But like if you're going to do it. That's my philosophy.
What a great sentiment to end this on.
Dear FBI and IRS, I am not telling people to commit crimes. Do not indict me. Thank you. Moving on, one thing that's got us through the pandemic is a whole host of TV shows and movies on streaming services. But in particular, the one thing that's kept us tethered to reality throughout COVID is, in fact, reality television.
Everyone has their own reality TV comfort show, and today we're sharing ours. We're joined by BuzzFeed Deputy Director and author of Vagina Problems, Laura Parker. Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here to talk about reality TV, my favorite subject.
Fun fact about Laura and I, we talk about reality TV every day of our lives. That's not an exaggeration, is it, Laura?
Not at all. It's like from morning to night, every single day.
We're in a group chat with one of our other friends who used to work at BuzzFeed, and all we do during this pandemic is talk about reality TV. It has been such a source of freaking comfort, which is the first question I want to get to. Why is it that reality TV can be so soothing, almost like a comfort food?
Honestly, I think about this a lot. And I think it's just because, for the most part, the stakes are so low, right? Like, they're fighting about, like, you said this thing about my husband. And it's like, none of us care. Like, it doesn't affect us. It's not like, you know, living through a pandemic. It's quite different. So it's nice to just like watch them fight about things that are just so low stakes, but they blow it out of proportion to where it feels like the end of the world. And you can just sit there and be like, wow, I'm not dealing with that. So that's great. I already feel better.
I also, you shared a tweet the other week that was, what was it? It was something about like, I want to take a nap. So I'm putting on Real Housewives so I can hear like the lull of fighting in the background. Yes. As I drift off.
It's surprisingly relaxing.
Oh my gosh. So I'm so glad you bring up stakes, because I know there's a study out there. I don't know who did it, but I remember seeing news about it that says people who watch reality TV actually are pretty smart, that it's not something that just like quote unquote dumb people do, but it's something that we all engage with because we need a break because the stakes are so low. So Laura, what are your favorite go-to reality comfort shows, comfort foods, if you will?
Yes, Casey's going to roll her eyes because my first is going to say 90 Day Fiancé. Listen, it's a classic, perfect reality show. It has everything that you could ever want. So that's definitely one of my go-tos. And there are so many different iterations of it at this point that you can watch it like year round.
Can you tell me why you love it? Because I'm going to tell you why I don't love it. My anxiety skyrockets because it's like you're getting married in 90 days, usually to someone you've never like met before in person. It's wildly uncomfortable for me.
For me, it's like, wow, that's awesome that you are just taking a chance, putting yourself out there. I would never do it, but hey, power to you if you're going to marry someone you've spent 3 days with. I mean, I will watch it. When I started watching, I had no idea what it was. Like the premise of the show, I thought, oh, they just get married in 90 days. I didn't know it involved like a visa. I didn't know that it was usually people from other countries. So it added this whole other layer where I was like learning about our visa system in a way that I never had and seeing like first person accounts of it. And the stakes are a little bit higher, right?
I love something you said, which was like, the more power to you, I would never do it. And I think that's true of almost every reality TV show I watch. Yeah. Like literally, well, whether it's Top Chef, Survivor, 90 Day Fiancé, Real Housewives, it's like, I would never do it. So I'm going to watch someone else do it.
Oh, so that makes me think about, you know, you both are saying things that I think are like kind of pieces, they're ingredients to a larger thing that we're baking. You know, Laura, you said steaks. Casey, you're saying it's something you don't want to do. So can we agree on a formula maybe that makes a good reality show? Like X plus Y equals Z, or like, what do you think, Laura, as the expert here today?
Yes, she is the expert.
Honestly, I think it takes a certain personality type where they're not afraid to make a fool out of themselves. They're not afraid to be unapologetically themselves, whether for better or worse, right? Like sometimes we sort of wish they would be more hesitant to show parts of themselves, but it's kind of wild to just sit there and be like, wow, this person is filming this part of their life that's like really intimate or like really embarrassing. Like they're owning it and they're saying, yeah, whatever, like I'm just, this is who I am and I'm gonna make money from this reality TV show and make you guys laugh at my expense sometimes even. So I think it takes like that personality of like not being afraid to like be who you are for better or worse.
I think that with that, we can talk about something that Zach knows very well, which is hilarious because he doesn't actually watch the show, but he knows it super well. And that is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Oh my God.
He loves Heather as much as we love Heather. But that is one of those things because Laura and I do talk often about like, because this is a whole new cast of Real Housewives. It's like, they can't be afraid to get messy. Heather like speaks the truth. She's loud. She's progressive in certain ways. So that's really great. But then we do have other people on the show who think that they can just come off as really great people who are above drama. And I'm like, you're on Real Housewives on Bravo.
Right. Like we know what the game is. And so when people act like they don't know, it's like Meredith, babe, come on.
It's like, girl, look at where you're at. You are a Bravo celebrity. Andy Cohen is like, sitting
here on the show. Like you signed up. You are filming. Do you know?
Do you know what you're doing? Okay. So we'll be right back to talk more about what reality TV shows have been comforting us this past year.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Laura Parker about the reality TV shows that have and continue to soothe our souls over the pandemic. Laura just shared with us her pick, but Casey, you have not told us yet what you're loving right now in this pandemic, and you cannot say Salt Lake City. So I
won't say Salt Lake City. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this and not once did The Bachelor pop into my head.
Really? We talk about it so much.
But because that's what we talk about, like the mechanics of it. The Bachelor for me is an experience. It's something pre-pandemic that I watched every Monday with my friends. They come over to my apartment. It's an experience. It's not something that I like deeply love that's comforting to me. It's more of like a fun thing to do. Now, shows that have brought me great comfort is Survivor. I've rewatched like almost all the seasons. Top Chef, rewatched all of them.
Yes.
But I said it out loud to one of my friends and they were like, okay, you should probably rethink what you're doing. I did watch season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 3 times in a row in 1 week.
What? The same one over and over?
The same one. In my defense, it's only 8 episodes. Also in my defense, maybe the best, most joyful season of reality TV ever.
What? Who wins that season?
Alaska wins.
Oh, it's Alaska season. Okay,
it's a fantastic season. I suggest if you have not seen Drag Race, Laura, you don't watch Drag Race, do you?
No, I need to.
That is the season to start with because it is the queens are at the top of their game. And they're also just like, it's very personal. They're talking about their life in drag, how hard it is for them, how hard it is to be gay in families that don't always accept them. And then you see the most gorgeous drag you've ever seen. The outfits are amazing. The lip singing is amazing. Just like everything is so beyond. And I start to just really connect with them. And I just like, as soon as it was done, I was like, again. And then I started a third time, and that's when a friend was like, we need to talk.
Yes, you need to take a break.
Okay, so Zach, I know you're not that big of a reality TV person, but has there been anything in the reality TV realm that has brought you comfort in the past year?
Yes, there has. So you bring up RuPaul's Drag Race, and I have tried to watch it because it used to be a very comforting thing to me, but it made me really sad because it's something I used to do in public. Like every Friday, I would go to the bars. So I had to like let that go. So I will return to RuPaul's Drag Race when I can go to like the Abbey or wherever to watch it. But through all this, because I tie certain shows with certain feelings, I have returned to The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh,
because
God, yes.
I grew up partially in Atlanta, and I used to watch the show anytime I flew, because I fly Delta a lot, and they have all the Bravo shows. And I just would watch it alone so much because I travel a lot for work. And it just was something to rewatch it, especially now as we're thinking about social issues. And a lot of those people on the show have become so aware of, they've always been aware of race, but they're now talking about it more and talking about activism more. And I just love seeing how like reality TV has like, couldn't untie itself from the reality of itself. And I think that Real Housewives of Atlanta is like very much having to respond to like, oh God, we are Black. We have to do this show and talk about what's happening to Black people right now. And I just love it so much.
I have been rewatching Atlanta. Actually, I've been rewatching all Real Housewives, but I'm on Atlanta right now, and I genuinely forgot how fucking good it is. Like,
yes,
I knew it was
so good,
but like Phaedra, like the early, I mean, Phaedra did bad things later on, I understand, 100%. But my God, she was a great housewife. Early Meanie, like just unmatched, honestly. So much joy.
Zach, I want to bring up something that you may not know about Laura, but it was when you were talking about like the social issues on Atlanta, et cetera. Laura is the queen of calling out Bravo reality stars for doing bad shit. She really is. She took down a season of Vanderpump Rules. I'm not exaggerating.
The power, Laura Parker.
Basically, Laura, you can step in after, in case I get this wrong, but basically on the season, two of the stars, characters, whatever you want to call them, we're going to get married, but the person marrying them has a history of homophobia, you know, being anti-gay, etc. And she called out Bravo and them to the point where they had to change who was marrying them. And almost in the entire cast was coming out to publicly say they disagreed with their decision to go with that priest. Okay, yep. Laura, please explain what happened there.
Okay, listen, anyone who watches Vanderpump Rules knows that they always have an episode in LA where they go to Pride. And it's like this whole thing where they act like they're allies. And I say act like, because then they turn around. Jax and Brittany were hiring this pastor who had so many hateful Facebook statuses and just like said, you know, I don't believe that gay people should have a right to marry, like just terrible shit. And it like really pissed me off because they had just gone to Pride. And I'm like, Are you guys fucking joking? And so, you know, like I'm verified, like a lot of people at BuzzFeed are. And so sometimes I feel like, well, you know what? I'm just going to annoy the fuck out of you until you have to respond to this in some way. And Brittany and Jax blocked me immediately. I'm still blocked, which sometimes bothers me because I can't like flip their tweets and make fun of them, whatever. And then eventually, like I just kept tweeting so much that Lisa Vanderpump was like, I do not agree with this and I will be talking to them. And then Lance Bass replaced the pastor and it was like this whole thing. But there is power in like, you know, if you, because that's the problem too with watching reality TV is that like you have to reckon with like who these people are in real life sometimes. And that's really hard, especially when, you know, as progressive people to watch these hateful people get a platform sometimes. So I'm sort of like trying to like reckon with that and be like, okay, as viewers, we have power in who we want to see on TV, what we want to watch. And so.
And do you think that is what draws people to reality TV? Because I do remember when I first started watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta, that's when Twitter kind of had just launched. And I would use it as a way to talk to Kim Zolciak because I needed to tell her things about what she just said. But I do see this all the time that people are so socially engaged, like The Bachelor finale. I don't watch The Bachelor, but I got to learn all my friends that do because they were all tweeting about Matt James and what's happening and tweeting at people. But so I guess my question there is the reason why we love reality TV so much is that one, it's like lower stakes. We get to like just play it, but we also can like jump into it if we want to.
Yes, that's such a good point. Like you're part of this community, whether it's on Twitter or in a Facebook group or whatever, where you're all sharing this experience. Not everyone views the experience the same way, but just being a part of that, you have this like mutual understanding of like, wow, Jen Shah did something wild on the show last week or whatever it may be, where like average people in your life, your friends, family might not be watching these shows or like having that experience, and being able to like directly access these people, like you said, Zach, is like, yeah, it's kind of game changing because you can say, like I said, like it bothered me that they had that pastor. So I said, okay, I'm just going to like annoy them because we can do that because they're accessible to us in a lot of ways. Mm.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for coming on today to talk about why we love and hate reality TV.
Thank you so much for having me. And watch 90 Day Fiancé, please.
Oh, fine.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Join us tomorrow for another installment of DM911 with Stephen LeConte.
And remember, if you're accused of being racist, don't do an interview where you actually prove you're racist.
Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go for your sound stories.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of what you love about BuzzFeed. Coming to you daily.